Okay, moving to our next and our final presentation for today on the Seattle ICM Pioneer site, Interstate 5. We have Vin Dang from the Washington State DOT, who is being joined by John Toon of King County Metro. Vin Dang?
Yes, good morning and good afternoon, everybody. This is Vin Dang for Washington State Department of Transportation. And I'm here to share with you our experience developing gun ops and into the requirement for our I-5 SODO corridor. And our corridor is a compact linear band about 12 miles going from the south. At the south end, it is bound by the I'm trying to get the pointer. Okay, yeah. At the south end is I-18 and I-405, and then on the east side is the I-5.
Public area.
On the west side is Highway 99 and multiple parallel arterial that is operated by the City of Seattle, and they are all within 1 mile wide. And then these interchanges are adequately spaced to provide network junction crossing between freeway and arterial. And operationally, the I-5 traffic is fairly congested. We have about 210,000 ADT on the I-5, and then the characteristic of the peak traffic flow is that I-5 is frequently the peak on I-5 is fairly flat. It's as soon as about 6 in the morning, it operates at capacity and then hovering near capacity throughout the day until 6 p.m. So the flow in I-5 is very unstable. Whereas the parallel route like the East Maginot Way, 4th Avenue, 1st Avenue on the city side has traffic and there's reserve capacity in between the peak. And this is why we felt like the ICM would help us in terms of balancing the load across multiple routes as well as the transit we have in this route. In this corridor here, each agency are operating their facility very well, and they have a very mature ITS system. WSDOT have a very well, very mature freeway management system operating rear metering VMS camera and a solid communication system throughout the region. And then the City of Seattle have the ACTRA as a central arterial control system. Within this corridor, City of Seattle has about a little bit more than 100 traffic signals all connected to their central system in downtown. And then King County also has a very robust transit management system. Their buses are equipped with ABC and ABL. And we also have transit signal priority at multiple locations within this corridor here. Again, each of these agencies has been operating very well independently, and that's why we need the ICM to integrate this activity together to manage traffic in the entire corridor. So how ICM will help our site here? With the ICM, and Corey's partner in the corridor to collaborate on developing corridor-wide incident response plans. We realized that when the system is disrupted, when incident happens, then we are not in balance anymore. Traffic will divert, will find a way to either go to different route, different mode. ICM is a forum for partner in the corridor to get together and stay ahead of the curve by developing those plans to make sure that when the need arises, we are ready and prepared for it. And then also by preparing this incident response plan for the whole corridor, it presents the opportunity to cross the jurisdiction control. For example, if the agency in the corridor agree to certain response plans and one agency is not available 24 hours a day or 7 days a week, then the other agency through ICMS can activate those plans. So, who are our ICM stakeholders? This corridor here has the three main operators in the corridor is Washington State DOT, City of Seattle, and King County Metro Transit. But because of the similarity of many other corridors within this region, there's a wider stakeholder that have interest in this corridor here. They are the Sound Transit, also operate transit outside the corridor and into this corridor as well. And then we have the Metropolitan Planning Organization, PSRC, also have a keen interest in this project. Likewise, I mean, at the federal level, we have FSWA and Federal Transit Agency as well. In terms of defining role and achieving buy-in, in this corridor, the WSDOT is the lead agency, and mainly we serve as a facilitator among other partners. And because each agency has been very well advanced individually in terms of ITS deployment, the way we set up is that each agency will maintain their own primary control of the network and the asset. And then each agency will also retain their own ownership and operation responsibility for device and within their area of responsibility. But within this corridor, we will have operational agreement to jointly operate specific ITS pertaining to the corridor. And I guess that is one of the reasons why buy-in is people buy in because we don't have to relinquish the control totally. We still have control of our own facility. And then the other thing that we can see that I see as helping people to buy in is the working together, developing the corridor goals and need, and then trying to answer the question, what is in this for us rather than what is in this for me. Here's the pictorial diagram of what our ICMS, our ICM system look like. And I don't know if you can go into detail to see all of those fine print in there, but mainly the system composed of several major subsystems as well as processes. And the system basically, let me get the pointer and show. The yellow or golden dot area is the ICMS system, and it has The data acquisition is the first process, basically collecting data and some process information from the current agency server or system. It will, as it collect information from individual system, it will also geocode those information so that only information pertaining to the corridor would be used in either help decision support or reporting incident for the corridor only. And then following after that we'll be publishing information out to either the public, to the user, or to the adjacent agency. So I won't go into detail on each of those of the four processes in the ICMS, but rather I'll just take one example. In this case is the decision support module or process. I mean, the core function of this process is that it will continuously monitor the performance of individual network. For example, it will continuously monitor arterial on from the city side and the freeway from the state side, as well as the transit schedule and operation. And then it will compare with the historical value, basically establishing, I mean, the historical value establish the baseline performance, and then the real time performance is being used to compare with that. And then there will be some threshold, some triggering, some check where the current performance will be checked against those baseline. And at that point, it will either prompt the operator for system imbalance and suggest remedy action or suggest response plan. The original process that I will briefly touch on is the incident reporting. The primary mean of collecting current condition on this incident is through the internal agency. Like for DOT, they'll get information from the SIP start situation status report and the car condition acquisition report system. And then this user interface will be used to normalize and correlate ICMS incident report across the participating corridor agency. And one other nice thing about this incident reporting process is that it will also generate a detour or suggest a detour based on another set of rules, such as where the construction, where incident happened, is any special event blocking, and this recommendation is coming out of the incident reporting process. So how will the ICMS facilitate the ICM? Basically, it serves as a central information repository, and it will process, disseminate the corridor-specific travel information so that it will only pertaining to user of the corridor rather than of the whole region, because the information is being collected by the agency for the whole region, but we only need to show it as corridor specific. And as I mentioned earlier, it would help the operating agency to do congestion management or support the decision. Lesson learned. Right in the middle of developing the corner for the corridor, the state has a major I-5 reconstruction project to replace the expectant joint on the about 1.5 mile stretch of freeway, which is on the viaduct, strictly on bridge structure. And then the northbound of the freeway was reduced from 5 lanes down to 2 lanes and 3 lanes throughout various days of construction for 2 weeks, and that was last year. And the displaced commuter was shipped on to the adjacent arterial and onto transit system. So what happened is that prior to construction, way in advance of construction, King County Metro and City of Seattle and Washington State DOT got together, collaborate on developing general operation plans, the incident response plan, and recovery plans, as well as signal timing on the corridor. And as a result, the impact to the mobility of the corridor was minimal. As you can see that in this example here, based on the data we collect, this is 4th Avenue South, which is about a quarter mile west of I-5. And in this case, the cycle length for signal along this corridor was increased to accommodate the ship load. And then the other route that we also noticed is that East Marginal Way, another sample. In this case here, the peak, because of the competing cross arterial, the signal time split, we cannot increase more green time for the north-south progression, but instead we maintain the AM signal timing plans throughout the whole day for inbound traffic to accommodate what we call the peak spreading. And those are the area that ICM really helping us, is that being able to recognize the reserve capacity on the alternate route, so we can shift the demand from one facility onto the other. Also, not in my slide is the transit in this area. Throughout this process and throughout this project here, also accommodate also experience increased ridership. So it proved to all partners in the corridor that yes, there are reserve capacity in different mode as well in different route. Anyway, another lesson learned that we have is that during the developing of a CONOP, it is an iterative process. The biggest hurdle that we got through is that agency come to the table with a wish list of actual improvement that they want to see in their own system, but somehow we have to work together to get through that improvement centric look into the actual what is the need of a corridor that would affect all agency. And once we get into that get through that mode, identify the corridor need, then it's easier to get into developing the CONOP that would help the corridor need. And then as we work through into the system requirement, the constraint during those system requirement also prompt us to go back to the CONOPs and make some revision to it. The interface control document for legacy system is also something we have to deal with or can be concerned with. At this point, we probably have to try to go back and see. We have to build some intermediate interface to get information out of our legacy system so it can be somehow read or transferable into the ICMS. And then there's a number of in-house applications such as the NGTMS, things that are developed by DOT. We don't have lots of documentation, but as we develop those, the ICMS will go back and, not reverse engineering, but we go back and re-document those IDC for the ICMS. The institutional lesson learned that we have, I guess the main thing that we always find out is that partnering with your neighbor is very important to us. The MPO in this area here have created a regional traffic operation committee that bring people together, bring different local agencies together, and that foster the partnership for ICM. And then the other thing is that discussing all of the ICM strategy during the non-crunch time, in a relaxed environment, instead of wait to the last minute and talk about emergency response, it's always foster partnership. And this concludes my presentation. So I'm opening up for questions or anything coming in.
Thank you, Vin. So yes, now we'd like to take questions from our audience for Vin and John Toon. And it looks like we have one so far.
And that question is, are variable speed limits on I-5 an option for modeling? Although it can be an expensive solution, it can be a very effective option for regulating traffic flows and controlling how quickly downstream traffic reaches accident locations or congested hotspots. I drove I-5 recently and thought it could be an ideal candidate.
Yes, variable speed is something recently come in under the urban partnership agreement that we had, and it come in after we developed the concept of operation. So this is something we probably will go back in and make revision to the con ops consider variable speed limit as one of the control strategy on I-5.
Okay, we can take questions over the phone as well.
Once again, please press *1 and record your name if you'd like to ask a question at this time.
I'd just like to, while we're waiting, to touch on what Vin Dang said about the going through the ConOps development and requirements process. We found that it was, for all of the Pioneer sites, it was a very, following the systems engineering process, it was very rigorous and challenging. But in the long run, I think it'll be very beneficial, as it'll pay off in developing ICM systems that the Pioneer sites had envisioned. They'll get what they were planning to implement.
We do have another question typed in. When you give signal priority for north-south, how do you inform east-west that they may have a longer wait as priority has been given to north-south?
John, are you there? Maybe John Toon would like to answer that question.
I'm going to let the signal folks get a crack at that first.
Okay.
John, John Kane. I assume your question is on when we increase the signal split, give more green time as a result of the ship traffic, or are you talking about the signal priority due to transit? you were asking about giving more green time to accommodate ship traffic.
It's like during construction he's talking about, I guess.
Yeah, the construction, yep. Yeah. Mm. We had a lot of media public outreach before the construction, and we have identified those parallel north-south corridor as alternate route. And then the other thing that really helped us here in this case is our corridor is very compact. It's only about a mile wide. So east-west progression is not really a concern here. East-west is more or less like just an access to the major arterial. So the predominant movement is still north-south in this corridor. That answers your question, John?
I guess that was more for, not necessarily priority for transit vehicles. It was just as a result of construction.
Yeah, it looks like that did answer the question. Do we have any questions over the phone?
We have Joe Roach that came in with a question. Your line is open, sir.
Have you considered hot lanes in your congestion management?
Not on I-5 yet, but and this is the reason why I mentioned we have lots of interest from other agency within this region, because southeast of this corridor here, we have another corridor which is about 10, 15 miles long also that currently have hot lane on. This is what I call the valley corridor, which is Highway 167. Currently, we have a pilot project with hot lane there. And along with this corridor, we have very good alternate north-south arterial network. So whatever the success we have over here in this Sodo corridor, we can certainly replicate further southeast of us within this region here. So yes, we do consider hot lane as part of the strategy for ICM.
Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, thank you.
That was the only question we had on the phone lines at this time.
Okay, thank you.